Fourth and final hour of 3D on this snowy Tuesday here in Nashville. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. And as promised, we said we would talk a little bit about the coaching search. We learned a lot yesterday as an hour or so before we hit the airwaves to kick off the week. We had learned that Mike Mularkey and the Tennessee Titans had parted ways. We carried John Robinson's press conference live yesterday at 1 o'clock, and certainly that's what we've been discussing a lot of since the move was made. And we told you we would kind of talk about the list. Now that that's in the past, now we're moving forward with, okay, so who's the next guy? If the next guy is supposed to take the next step, if 9-7 in a divisional playoff round loss and a playoff win wasn't good enough, who's the next guy to lead them to that next level? And to help us with all that, Vinny Iyer from Sporting News, he's been writing on this. He now joins us on the show. Vinny, how you doing?
Good. How's it going, guys?
We're cold. It's a little snowy. We don't deal with snow well in the South, but we're managing.
Yeah, it's not too bad here in Charlotte, so it feels a little bit better.
Yeah, you know a little bit about that, right? A snowstorm coming through there, you know, it can get a little dicey. So let's start with kind of these guys, because right now they're just names. Some of them we remember their playing days, so we can identify there. But realistically, unless you've had any interaction, unless they've ever been in your market and you've had to cover them, it's hard to really know what these guys bring to the table. So when you kind of see the list of names that are being floated out there, you've written on this, what jumps out at you?
Well, I think the theme of this offseason, and we know everybody copies each other in this league, and last offseason, who are the big hits here, really, Sean McVay from Wire to Wire for the Rams, and at the end, there's Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers and their upside for next year. So everyone's looking at, we want a coordinator like that, we want a young mind like that, and you saw that immediately with the Bears going after Matt Nagy. The Colts look in line to have Josh McDaniels, and a little older guy, but Pat Shurmur looks like he's going to be the Giants coach. So it looks that's the way the league goes at some point. If you've got the older, hard-nosed, defensive-minded coach, everyone switches to a different offensive coach. In this case, they did have an offensive-minded coach, but I think everyone's looking for the upside. They want that offense that's complete and explosive and can do a whole bunch of different things, and that's why I think it's good in a way that teams are going more for the ceiling and not settling for the floor offensively.
Yeah, what's interesting to me, Vinny, is we get caught up in, I know Sean McVay is the easiest one to use. He's young. You know, first you hear the Rams, 31 years old. Are you kidding me? Oh, my goodness. It looked so bad last year to what it did this year. I mean, what a quick turnaround. And I realize he's been the example, but it kind of cracks me up that we think now everybody should go hire the young whippersnapper. Well, how'd they fare in the playoffs? You know, they were at home and they lost to the veteran team. And we're sitting here talking about a Jacksonville team. Doug Marrone is not a young whippersnapper. He's an old school guy with Tom Coughlin up in the ivory tower. And he's about, you know, doing things kind of the old school way. And so you don't really see, as we sit here in the final four, about young whippersnappers. Bill Belichick is not some up-and-comer. I mean, so it is tricky to see what is the best approach. Is it the, you know, is it the Kyle Shanahan's, the Sean McVay's, or is it the more seasoned guy?
I think it's all about knowing what kind of team you have. And I think with the Rams, they had a young team, so going with a younger coach made sense. They needed some guys to lift up on defense, so they kind of balanced that out with an older Wiley coordinator there with Wade Phillips that kind of brought everything together there. So it's really knowing about what kind of team you have, how close you are, who can push the right buttons, who fits the skill set of what you already have, because a lot of teams try to change everything and scheme and all that. But the teams that seem to do successful say, hey, we've got all these pieces together. This is someone who can put them together a little better. So it's a very tough thing, and that's why a lot of teams fail at it, and you see the turnover 2 or 3 years, because you got to know your team well first before you can know the coach that's going to make you the most successful.
You said you're there in Charlotte. One of the names on the list is their defensive coordinator for the Panthers, and Steve Wilks. What can you tell us about him?
Well, I think the one thing I'll tell you first off is the players love him. You see the motivation and how they've come out, and everyone was worried about how are they going to respond without Sean McDermott, who went to coach the Bills. Then here you have Steve Wilks maybe bringing a little bit more energy. the level of play was restored to what we had 2 years ago here. So I think people just respond to those type of coaches that have a lot of the motivational tools there. And I think they're pretty impressed with how he just took over and seamless and not a drop off there. And we look at the copycat, but you also look at pedigree and a particular position that leads to good coaches being hired elsewhere. And I think you look Wilkes following McDermott, I think you're going to get a similar mindset. And we know McDermott had pretty good immediate success.
One thing that's always tricky to me, and obviously it's not my job to figure it out, it's up to the organization and the general manager who's doing the hiring to figure it out. A tricky situation for me, Vinny, is knowing if you have, let's say, for example, a Ron Rivera in Carolina. He's a defensive-minded guy. And you've got Steve Wilkes. And I always wonder, you know, okay, so how much of it does the head coach have his fingers all over, you know, whatever side of the ball? If the head coach is from one side of the ball, how much does he play into the coordinator's role? How much is he really, really involved? And so you don't really know how much does the coordinator get credit, or is it really the head coach that has his hands all over? How do you deal with that, which when you're trying to figure out a good candidate?
Well, I think you can maybe look at the coach as more the architect of everything they want to do, and you got two guys as the contractors that your coordinators are that are kind of installing that, and they're going to have meetings and discuss that. But I think the biggest thing is you have the mesh in philosophies. You can't have a guy that wants to play ball control and then you have a coordinator that is going to open it up and throw it around the building. So it's all about the chemistry and balance and having a base to work with, and then saying, okay, you go to work and color it in. We've drawn the picture, you color it, what you need to do with the players that we've given you. So I think it's a very difficult thing to do. And I think sometimes, like I mentioned with the McVay-Phillips thing, sometimes it's a yin and yang situation where you have one guy that's older, one guy that's younger, but they come together nicely for you in terms of how you're calling plays.
The two guys in Philadelphia, obviously we know Frank Reich from his playing days, but you got a quarterback's coach and an OC. What can you tell us about them?
Yeah, I think both of these guys are fine candidates because I know Doug Peterson still pretty much has his hands all over the offense, the play calling and all that, but you look at the development of a quarterback and what they've done there with Carson Wentz, both of those guys, DeFilippo, the quarterback's coach, and Reich have really had a good influence on what you're going with Carson Wentz, and you see a lot of things you like. And we know it's a little bit copycat in that sense as well. It's like, what can he do for our quarterback if he's going to do something for a quarterback like our quarterback? And I look at Carson Wentz, and a lot of things he can do is mobility and throwing it around and kind of being able to spread it around the field. A lot of that quality is in Marcus Mariota. So you got to kind of look at that. You got to follow the parallels and kind of connect the dots to how you want your team to operate with your quarterback.
Vinny, let's ask about what's happening right now with a couple other guys that have been reportedly offered interviews with the Titans. Give us your rundown on Mike Vrabel. What do you think of him?
I really like him. I know they didn't have the best defense down in Houston, but there are a lot of reasons for that when you don't have J.J. Watt and Whitney Merciless and a lot of age there that crept up in the secondary. But with Mike Vrabel, I just think, again, as a former player, and you got to know that he's had the highest success here with the Patriots. He's got good guys in his coaching tree as a player and as an assistant all throughout the way, that there's something there. We've seen him in college as well. Ohio State, his alma mater, do some things. So it seems like everywhere he goes, there's just a buzz and energy of success that follows him. So I think you have to look at that. And sometimes you can't worry too much about, okay, we need an offensive coach. We need an offensive coach. That's what the coordinator is for always in every situation, to balance it out. So with Vrabel, the players, again, love him and the energy, and he's a younger guy, but he's developed so much experience here of late where he can operate an entire team at this point.
And what about a guy that maybe people don't know as well, because people who have watched football for a while, you probably could remember Mike Vrabel playing in a lot of big games. But what about Matt LaFleur, the Rams offensive coordinator, who apparently also is going to get an interview here?
Yeah, this is a guy that kind of has flown under the radar, but I think he really – was not that anymore when we went with Sean McVay there. You look at his work I mean, Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, if you want to go total copycat, this is a guy that's worked under both of those guys. He turned Matt Ryan into an MVP. He turned Jared Goff completely around. So when you look at that again, we're such quarterback-driven in this league, and you look at Mariota and what he could do there. And I think Mariota is just an intriguing kind of player that you can work with as a quarterback's coach because you can do so much with him. You can run him around. You can have him throw deep. You can do so many things you can't do with other limited quarterbacks. So I think you have to think about Mariota in this one. He's already had a couple different guys in there, and Ken Whisenhunt and Mike Mularkey. You need some guy that's younger and can have some stability and develop him and stay with him so they're there for a long time. And we know those coach-quarterback combinations work like that. So LaFleur, this is a good time to get him because I don't think he's going to be available in a couple years.
Vinny, we've now tossed out, you've given us a great description of and background of a lot of these guys out there. Is there any guy that you lean towards right now from where you sit that in your mind is the best fit or from what you've heard might have the inside track?
Well, I really think LaFleur has to be a name to watch here. I thought he would definitely pop up. He knew that they were going for someone in this direction. I think maybe you had Mike Mularkey kind of feel that as well, that they were going for one of these bigger offensive names. And when you look at all the dominoes falling the way they have with Nagy and McDaniels and Shermer, the next guy on the list to me was Matt LaFleur in that vein. So I know the Eagles guys are good, but it's hard to determine who do you feel a little bit more comfortable about versus Reich and DeFilippo. But I think you look at LaFleur, the pedigree's there, and it lines up well with what the Titans really want out of their offense.
As an X factor right now, not that it would affect this this job, but it might be just something that you would see a lot of ripples around the league. Do you think there's any chance that Mike Tomlin is on shaky ground in Pittsburgh in the aftermath of their season?
Well, I think he's particularly safe, but you might have to do the old sacrificing of coordinators at some point, maybe not right away, but they're going to have to take a long look at Todd Haley and Keith Butler. Are these the guys that are going to take them to the next level? I know Haley and Butler have had a pretty good run here as they've redeveloped talent there, but I can't see Tomlin becoming available anytime soon. I think when you have that Super Bowl victory, it gives you a really long free pass. I think that's happened with Mike McCarthy, too. And McCarthy finally succumbed and made his change as a coordinator. I think that's what you could see more out of the Steelers.
Who do you think is going to end up in Arizona?
This one's a tough one because I think they're kind of a jilted right now with all the things that have gone on. But I would still maybe look at Steve Wilks being a strong candidate there, just the way things could go. I thought they might look more in-house with who they had there with Harold Godwin and James Betcher, the defense coordinator. But they still could go that route. But right now, the outside guys, Wilks would be the best.
It is pretty interesting that we're not really talking about, well, I guess there's been a couple retreads. I guess McDaniels, that qualifies as a retread. Gruden is a retread. But for overall, we're talking about a lot of guys with their first crack at being a head coach, where a lot of times, I mean, we just saw the exit of Mike Mularkey. That was his third stint as a head coach. I mean, so many times we're talking about guys that have had two or three cracks, two or three bites of the head coaching apple.
Yeah, it's definitely a different trend here. And I mean, some of these established guys are hard to get right now, and it's hard to go after like a John Fox, Jim Caldwell, especially with the bad taste of how their teams kind of finished the season. So, it's very hard because you're trying to please a lot of parties, and number one, the players inside the building, and then the fans are going to overreact either way, and I think they know everything about the decision there. So I think you can't really force and affect your decisions based on the outside noise, but unfortunately, sometimes it's hard to ignore that, and that's why you see all these teams making these drastic changes.
Last thing real quick, Jim Bob Cooter. Saw him at UT when he played in college. You know, there was a lot of stuff about him when he was in Detroit. He's kind of just out there sitting. Where does he land? What's next for him?
Yeah, I'm just really surprised that he's not gotten as much buzz. I think part of it is that he's extremely young and didn't stop Sean McVay, but he had a little bit of the coaching name to his presence and the John Gruden stuff behind him to help him there, maybe get the job a little earlier. But, yeah, I think maybe the question is the youth. Is he ready to make that jump there at 33? I think he will be a head coach at some point. I think if I'm the Lions, I'm looking very seriously at keeping him. So I think they're going to do everything they can to keep him with Matt Patricia, because here's a guy that, that has Matthew Stafford right. I don't think you want to change things up there. But I think he's a dark horse candidate for any of the two jobs that are remaining. But down the line, I think two or three years at the most, you'll see Jim Bob Cooter in a head coaching role.
Good stuff. Really appreciate it. Thanks for lending some insight on to where this is headed, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Vinny Iyer, Sporting News, NFL writer for them. Appreciate him joining us and his article, Titans' Five Best Candidates. Five Best Coaching Candidates to Replace Mike Mularkey, and you just heard us discuss them. Go check out his work at Sporting News. We'll come back with more of 3D next on 102.5 The Game.